In 2001, when the Lost Boys of Sudan came to the United States, most of the young refugees brought painful memories of war, as well as a deep desire to help their home country. Now, over a decade later, many of them have families and children of their own. A former Lost Boy living in Kansas City recently found out that his devotion to Sudan doesn't end with him. John Akui was as surprised as anyone else when his 6-year-old son decided he wanted to collect school supplies for children in South Sudan. Alex Smith has the story.
For years, John Akui and Rebecca Mabier followed the news and searched the internet to find out the latest from their home country of Sudan. The couple is part of the Dinka ethnic group, and they had each fled for their lives from Sudan when the government tried to wipe out the Dinkas during the country's second civil war. John and Rebecca often spoke with fellow refugees about signs of hope in Sudan or ways to help the struggling country, but they were reluctant to discuss the painful, complicated subject with their 3 young American-born children. That changed in spring of 2011 when the family was watching scenes of poor rural life in South Sudan on the internet. For the first time, their son Atim, who's now 8, spoke up and asked his parents about the children on the screen. John Akui explains.
You know, one day when we were watching the news about the children in South Sudan that were walking with a bad food, they don't have shoes and they don't, you know, they wear shorts, they don't have clothes. And then the school under the, you know, under the tree where the children write in the dirt with their finger. So Atim saw that and he just jumped to his mom and said, "Hey, mommy, what is this? Why these children are crying and why they write with their finger in the dirt?"
John grew up in rural southern Sudan in the early 80s. The area received almost no funding for schools or infrastructure from the national government in the north because of ethnic conflict between the two regions. Like the children in the video, John Akui was taught math and writing by drawing in the dirt with his fingers. It's a practice that continues to this day. When Atim found out about it, he decided he wanted to help.
Well, I just went to my room and got 10 pencils and ran downstairs and said, "Can I give these 10 pencils to the children of South Sudan?"
Growing up in southern Sudan, John and his family struggled with poverty and lack of opportunity, but these trials couldn't prepare him for what came next. In 1983, when John was 4 years old, the Sudanese government started attacking southern towns to stop the emergence of the Sudan People's Liberation Army, which was started to stand up for the people of southern Sudan. The Sudanese military targeted young boys to prevent them from joining the SPLA. In 1987, on the night the army came to John's village, he and the other boys ran to escape being killed. They ran all night and hid out during the day for the next 30 days, eventually traveling 1,000 miles through the brush to refuge in Ethiopia. John Akui still has scars around his ankles from running during this month-long exodus.
Those scratches happened when I hit the wood with my leg when I was running. And I feel the pain, but, you know, because of fear, I wasn't really focusing on pain. I was focusing on how to get away.
John eventually settled in a refugee camp in Kenya, where he lived for 9 years. In 2001, John and about 3,800 other Lost Boys of Sudan were allowed to resettle in the United States. John took a job at a paper company in Kansas City and joined a growing community of Sudanese expatriates here. And at a Sudanese community get-together, he met Rebecca Mabier.
The first time I saw her, it was so amazing, and I was just say, "Oh, you know, I'm lucky. I saw a girl here that came from Sudan, and you know, she looked like us, and I would maybe see if we can, you know, get together sometime."
Rebecca, like John, is slender and well over 6 feet tall. Though she grew up in the north of Sudan, Rebecca is also Dinka. John says it's important to the Lost Boys to find Sudanese wives and start Sudanese families.
We feel like if we marry from our own community, then we will keep the same story together, and then we will think about the people back home together. So this will keep us strong, and we are not going to lose our history, so we will keep our history to the generation to come.
Rebecca and John were married in 2003, and Atim was born a year after that. They later had twins, a boy and a girl named Akui and Akon. Although the couple was committed to helping Sudan, they hadn't discussed it with their children. John says he was surprised when Atim first suggested collecting pencils.
First of all, my reaction, I wasn't prepared enough even to tell people about my hometown. So my son took over and told me what I supposed to do. So I feel guilty. You know, when I came was studying that, I was really feel guilty. Even the water started to drop in my eyes because I say, Atem, how did Atem just saw something in the internet and begin to ask me and my wife that we could deliver only 10 pencils? And we are the one who bought that 10 pencils. I didn't even thought about giving 10 pencils to children in South Sudan. So I feel guilty at that time, and I don't want to let it go. Because it was a chance for me, you know. He was just reminding me on what we're supposed to do.
Atem and his parents started talking to friends, classmates, co-workers, and church congregants about Sudan and asked their help with collecting pencils and other school supplies. The drive was more successful than any of them could have imagined. They've collected nearly 38,000 pencils and other school supplies as well. And now that Atem has been asking about Sudan, John and Rebecca have been more open to talking about it, though they're still reluctant to tell him the details of the war.
Well, the thing that I want Atem, you know, to know, Atem at least, he want to know where I came from. That will let him understand, you know, why am I here. So I tell Atem that, Atem, we are belong to South Sudan. I came from far away, and we came here. Because somebody, you know, the government didn't like us because of our differences, our religious. And I did not talk much about what was the big impact, what is really affecting us. But I was just, because Atem is still 8 years old, he need to know some of my background, but he don't need to know everything because his mind is still devolving.
The Second Sudanese Civil War ended in 2005, and in July of 2012, South Sudan became an independent country. John and Rebecca decided they wanted Atem to see the new country, so on Christmas Day, Atem and his mother will go there to see relatives and deliver some pencils. John explains why it's important for Atem to see South Sudan.
Atem need to go there and see with his own eyes. And then I want Atem to go and sit under the tree with them also and see how it feel like to sit under the tree and ride in the dirt. I want Atem also to know that these are, you know, his brothers and sisters who are suffering there. Not only people that he's helping them. It's his blood. And he want to feel it also. By sitting down there, how do you feel like? And when he come back here, I think Atem will always be focusing, you know, on how we can help those people back home. And also, I need also those people who are back home to feel like we are not forgetting about them. We never forget about them. We are still with them, and we will be always with them.
8-year-old Atem Akwi is already planning a bigger project to help South Sudan. He's raising money to build a school there. John and Rebecca are working with their church, Gashland United Methodist in Gladstone, on a project called Journey of Hope. Their goal is to provide clean drinking water to rural South Sudan. For Casey Currents, I'm Alex Smith.
We'll close this show with a favorite seasonal song. This is John Akui singing the hymn Onward Christian Soldiers as it's sung in Sudan in the Dinka language.